You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Your Dose of Death podcast. As always, it's your great host, Lauren. I'm not joined alone today, though. And as you guys know, 2024 is nearing an end. And I thought, I had to think long and hard about how I want to do this last episode of the year. It's been a tough year for me. But it's also been a good year. And I wanted to give folks, or to spotlight someone who I think has done wonders, not only in wrestling, but deathmatch wrestling, someone who I think is going to have an amazing 2025. We're not only talking about 2024 here, we're talking about the future. And this is a guy who not only we've connected over God knows what, but this is a dude who has become a friend of mine, who single-handedly got me booked in the great state of Texas. I've seen him grow into someone who I believe is a pure breakout candidate for 2025. He is a deathmatch tournament winner. He is truly one of the best in this great state of Texas. And he is someone that should be on your radar. I'm talking about deathmatch Jesus himself, Dmitry Alexandrov. Welcome to the show after a while trying to make this happen.
Thank you. It's been a wild road to make it happen, but Lauren, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And as I said, you're someone primed for breakout. You're someone who was, in my own mind, is one of the best up-and-coming deathmatch guys around because you exemplify so much of what maybe sometimes missing from deathmatch wrestling, the wrestling itself, to incorporating weaponry to just into actually promoting yourself and presenting yourself in a way that people are like, oh shit, this guy is for real. So thank you for all you've done this year.
Thank you. It's one of those things I think with deathmatch wrestling, sometimes people forget the wrestling part, and sometimes people forget the promoting part. You know, do two of those things and then take your death match already, and you're going to be already halfway there, man. It's just something that has to be, like, it can't be overlooked at all. No, not at all. So
absolutely. And I mean, considering Texas, as I said, a great state for wrestling. I mean, you're talking about the Von Erichs, the Terry Funks of the world, the Masadas of the world, and so many other great names have come out of Texas, and you're just adding to that lineage day by day, month by month, year by year. And to start off this conversation with you, I really want to ask, I mean, you've had a great 2024, appearing in Circle Six, appearing in XPW as well, but appearing in so many multiple promotions. And by the time this maybe comes out, you'll have garnished finally an East Coast appearance in the form of making it to CZW's Cage of Death card. And I know me and you have talked about this behind the curtain here, how incredibly excited you are, but what does it mean to you to really make that East Coast, Atlantic City, New Jersey debut for Combat Zone?
That's like one of those big bucket list things, you know, like, I did the show when they came to Houston, and that was awesome. It was like, hell yeah, I made it in a CZW show. That's awesome. But going out to the actual East Coast, you know, going out there, I haven't been back to the East Coast since I did New York City back in 2022. You know, it's been a while. And my first time wrestling in New Jersey, it's like a dream come true. The venue, I don't know if you've seen it, is incredible. I'm just stoked to actually have this opportunity and very grateful for it, because it's one of those bucket list things. It's just getting out there and working for companies where guys I used to watch just flourish, you know, guys from not just your deathmatch workers, but guys like Steen and Generico, guys like that, people, Hero, Claudio, people who worked there who just like were the best, you know, at the best, not just deathmatch wrestlers, but wrestlers too. CZW has been one of those companies that has always exemplified all that.
And I think it's really awesome to see. I mean, That four-way match that you're in, that's kind of like a who's who's of like kind of the current crop of deathmatch guys. I mean, Tarzan Duran, who you did face in Houston, Dr. Redacted, who literally single-handedly might be the hottest deathmatch wrestler in America right now. There isn't a person or a promotion that doesn't know that name by now. And JJ Allen Escobar, whatever the hell you want to call him these days, because it feels like he lives by two last names. But all four of you well deserved in that sense. And I mean, if you didn't see the promo that Dimitri put out for that match, the Blessed or Die promo, I thought it was very well done because it's like, yeah, like Tarzan getting his opportunities. Yeah, JJ his opportunities. Redacted opportunities aplenty, but you're kind of the blue chipper in that match. It's like, don't forget about me here. Don't forget about me. And I mean, I kind of put on my Instagram story. I was like, Dimitri's gonna freaking cook in Atlantic City, and
Damn
we'll
right.
just have to see. I mean, it's gonna be really awesome to see just in general, just seeing you out east. And it's not like your name hasn't grown. Like your name has
Yeah.
immensely grown, and as you said, since the last few years since you were last out east. And so I did actually have a few fan questions, and this
Sure.
actually does tie into one that I want to ask because in this current climate, maybe there's a few promoters and promotions that maybe have garnered reputation, good and bad. And someone asked, with certain promoters having a reputation of how does a wrestler look, into making sure he like, actually, I should reword that. Certain promoters have like a reputation, and whether that's good or bad, take it as you will. How would you say you look at making sure like things line up your way to make sure you make it to that show, like pay or transportation or anything along those lines? Like, how do you yourself manage those kind of situations in a way?
Well, the main thing I always try to say with a lot of promoters having some kind of reputation, where it comes with pay or not having things lined up. When it comes to flights, I always prefer to, hey, I'll take care of the flight. Reimburse me if this is what we're working towards. This is something I don't want to leave that in someone else's hands. I am going
Yeah.
to try and be good about it and find good cheap flights. I'm not going to be like first class. Yeah, you owe me this much, brother. No, I'm gonna find something that makes sense. I'm very fiscal about that stuff. When it comes to pay, man, deposits. I always tell people, get your deposits, get your deposit, make it a 50% deposit or whatever. At least get that, and then see where it goes from there. When a promoter tries to cancel on you, and it's the show's on a Saturday and they're canceling you on a Thursday, brother, that deposit, you keep that, because that is they just screwed you out of a weekend, probably something like that. I always say that because this is a business and you have to take it like that. Promoters, obviously, I've worked with some that have been notorious for not paying, but I've thankfully had good reputations because they've probably been put on notice so hard at this point that they're going to have to comply with that, or else it's just going to add to the pile. I mean, I worked for Ian. I know there's $100 somewhere that I'm never going to get back. And that's when I was first doing, like,
Brother,
I
now
did
you're really going
TPI.
to the ball. Oh
I
my
did TPI
goodness.
in 2021, and
Man,
I'm
forever
shorted
ago.
$100 somewhere. It's fine. It's fine.
It's
I'm
fine.
At this point, I don't ever expect to get that. But going forward, I'm never going to be in that situation ever again.
I get that. Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you answering that as brutally honest as possible.
I always, man,
Speaking
always.
another one, actually was someone who was a recent guest in here, Razor Jackson, one of the founders of Radar Wrestling.
Hell
He
yeah.
wanted to ask, like, are you open to taking bookings further east, or is like, are you trying to stick more west? Like, where geographically do you want to be booking
Anywhere,
wise?
anywhere. I stand by that. I've done a good job, I feel like, of expanding people's knowledge of Texas wrestling, but I know I have to go abroad and do more of that to also bring back to the scene. And it's just like Masada, he came and he was in Texas for the longest time,
Yeah.
but then he started making those trips more out east. He made those trips out west, and of course went to Japan, things like that to help build up the reputation of him, and you can't just stay in one area. And I definitely don't want to just do East Coast. I definitely don't want to just do Midwest.
Yeah.
I want to go everywhere. And you already know, I'm starting to get out more internationally. And that's another thing that's huge for me this next year.
We'll
But
get into that later.
yeah. But to answer his question, no, I am open to going anywhere because I love traveling. I'm one of those guys who actually likes travel.
That's a wrestler likes traveling. What a
Car or
novel
plane.
concept!
Yeah. So yeah,
Well, that's
absolutely, I would
awesome to
do it.
hear. Another question that someone had, and I think this is a great question because, yes, you are Vladimir Putin's least favorite
Least.
wrestlers, least. But I'd want to know what is your impressions of the Russian deathmatch scene, which of course has been heralded by none other than Alex Nabiev, those
Naibe, he's
absolutely
great.
Nabiev. Like, what is your impression of the Russian deathmatch
I
scene?
fucking love Blood and Sand. You know, it's
What is
so
Sam?
fucking
Thank
cool.
you.
Dude, it rules. I talked about this a few weeks ago too, one by John. I love Alex and I really like Piper Sweet. I
Oh
think
yeah, Piper,
they are
yeah.
so fucking cool, both of them. I think they are amazing. I love both of them. Alex, I see him posting pictures in Deathmatch Elite and stuff, you know, wearing his own little Orthodox, his little, you know, priest robe and everything.
Yes.
And he's telling me, "Oh, I thought of you when I took this." I'm like, "Thank you, especially the Photoshop, my friend." But yeah, no, I love it. I wish I could wrestle a lot of those people, and maybe one day I can, but probably not anytime soon.
Yeah, unfortunately, but
But I love them.
yeah.
I love what they do. I think it's incredible.
But yeah, those are just kind of a few fan questions that people had just on a Discord I'm a part
Sure.
of. So I appreciate all you guys who put in those questions, and Dimitri enjoyed them, of course. But I want to get to a story that was brought to my attention when I was out in Texas for Death in the Family. And I feel it wouldn't be right to do this interview without mentioning your relationship with Ruben Steele, because truly, you two really are. We're really one, like Alpha Omega in a way. And I think it's only fitting that I feel like you need to explain your story, your relationship with Ruben Steele, because when I got into deathmatch wrestling, Ruben was that guy out of Texas. Yes, Masada was kind of the guy, like did his thing, but like Ruben was that guy that I was like, this is the fucking dude right now. And then you came along. In a way, and like just the two of you, like seeing you two together, there's something special about that. So I want to give you the floor to explain your really intriguing relationship with Ruben Steele.
Ruben is one of those guys. When I first started coming to the Texas area, first time I did a Tex show ever, he was on the first show. It was a Anarchy Championship Wrestling, if you remember that company that old Darren Childs used to run.
Okay.
He was in a tag team at the time, the Horde, and they were doing a tag match with some friends of mine, and we first met each other right there in 2017, and you know, we had some matches later and, you know, some normal matches. We never did a death match to this very day. But when he stepped away, he saw that I was really pushing. And it was like, as he told me, he saw a lot of guys who kind of came into death match and they wanted the immediate glory of it and they wanted the praise of it and everything like that. He saw me as this guy that just didn't give a shit about that and who wanted to actually, you know, build more of the art. And I am forever grateful that he saw that. He's a guy who just, I from a, he had a lot of people who just wanted expectations out of him. And I was a guy who pretty much would just ask him advice. And he appreciated that the most. And, you know, just he saw what I was doing and he really wanted to help me any way he could, you know, even though like, his shoulders fucked and it sucks. It really sucks for that, you know. And he kind of lives a little vicariously through me, I think. Not that I'm going to put words in his mouth, but he really wanted to give me that proper rub. And it really sucks because me and him really wanted to try to work each other. There's actually a few times it was booked on paper, never put a flyer on a
Wow.
flyer or anything, but it was going to happen. But you know, orchestrating everything at Death in the Family, if you haven't seen it, I think three people knew that was happening. Absolutely,
I
just
was
three
not
people.
one of them. I can quote, I did not know that
And
was happening.
Reuben has a guy who just I'm not gonna like. I know there's some people who in the scene were not fans of mine, who Reuben they were fans of Reuben, but they you know Ruben was like always like there. He's my guy. He's my guy. Why you hate him? You know, because it was just some stupid Texas drama, and you gotta hate that stuff. But Ruben says, "I'm gonna come out there. I'm gonna show them motherfuckers that you're my guy." And it, I didn't expect that. I didn't expect any of this. I put the ball in his court, and I was like, either this is gonna happen or it's not gonna happen. And he showed up, and it was. Let me tell you, this means a lot, you know, like being able to receive this from him and just any kind of blessing and any kind of advice and mentorship he gives me, I am so grateful for. I think Ruben was one of these guys, even though he was doing a lot for the Texas scene, sometimes it feels like he never got that true recognition he truly deserved. I mean, yes, he worked for DeMonto, he did a little bit of that, you know, he worked for the
He was getting
Circus X.
there. He was
Yeah.
getting there, and it
He
just
worked for New Fear
you're
City.
waiting. You're
Yeah.
waiting for that moment with him, and I was waiting for that moment. I was like, he's getting the recognition, but it was just like there's just something was missing. Even though someone the other day mentioned to me that him and Satu Jin from that pit fire they had is one of their favorite matches ever, and I was like.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I just miss Ruben Steele. I had a random moment where I
Yeah.
was like, I miss Ruben Steele. Because
He's
he's
gonna be
like the
one of those
cool grandpa,
guys.
man. He's like just the cool
The
grandpa.
cool grandpa.
He was the cool grandpa you want at holiday parties and shit. I'm just
Yeah.
saying.
You know, I'm gonna tell you right now, I think down the road, people more and more are gonna be like he's one of those guys that they wish had a lot. Like, you know how they, not to put him in the same boat as like Sick Nick Mondo, but he's one of those
Oh, I get
guys.
what you mean.
He's one of those guys that, like, even though he had a short career in the main highlight, you know, it's always gonna be fondly remembered because Ruben killed it every time he went out there.
Yeah,
I
he
don't think there's
did.
a bad Ruben Steele match
No.
out anywhere, especially
I
in death
mean,
matches.
and speaking of all other Texas deathmatch retirees, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the match that kind of like sparked my interest for Texas deathmatch. Ruben Steele, Aaron Mercer at that freaking mall for Heavy
Oh,
Metal
yeah.
Wrestling. One of the coolest death matches. They're doing like bare boards in some random part of the mall in Texas. And I'm like,
That's
this
Mercer's
is
first death
cool.
match. That's Mercer's first
That's
death
right,
match.
that was. And
And they just
another
ripped that
guy,
Band-Aid off. They ripped it off.
and another unfortunate retiree, which, if you were or have seen Texas Death in the Family, Stud Stash has an amazing tribute to Aaron
Yeah.
Mercer. I was like, damn, are you trying to make me cry as I'm filming this match coming out to Cher? As someone who's like guilty pleasure artist is Cher, I'm like, oh,
That's
not
amazing.
Mercer's theme, but yeah. That's another one. But yeah, it's just so cool. Like the two of you really had this awesome relationship. And as he's passed down weapons to you, he's passed down knowledge. And you've taken that knowledge and ran. Like, I don't
Yeah,
know how else I
thank
could
you.
say that better.
I'm trying to do right by him. I'm just trying to do right by him at this point because, like I said, I think I don't know if you've seen Roland's clip of but after the tournament,
Oh, yes.
I said that this is how it should have been for Roland. I mean, for Ruben back when they did the Texas Deathmatch Massacre. I think he was a guy.
Yes.
I know they went with Masada, and that's the clear choice. Masada and Cologne was a great finals,
Oh yeah, I remember that match.
but Ruben and Masada's light tube match was amazing. I think it was the best match of that tournament, and I thought maybe it was more of a time to push a new guy, and I still stand by that choice just because. You know, Masada's done everything. He's
Yeah.
the guy.
He
He's
is the
done it all.
guy.
Ruben needed that moment, and he was taken from him. And I still stand by it. Like, this is how it should be for him. And I will always advocate for Ruben Steele being one of those guys that just gets his flowers always.
Man, I mean, it is so awesome. You know, it's so awesome that he's still being remembered too. That's the thing.
Hell
Like,
yeah!
I want to make
Damn
sure he's still
right.
remembered. So,
He should be.
that being
Fuck. I get hot
said,
about this shit, brother. I'm
I love.
sorry.
No, it's all good, man. Pure emotion. We love it.
Yeah.
So I want to talk more about what you have lined up for 2025. I also may have made a joke to a certain wrestler's manager that you may want to listen to this podcast because. You have a date January 17th at Pacific North Death with the one, the only, the infamous, I'll put him as hardcore.
Hardcore.
I told Will Carroll he should listen very closely because not only am I having you on, but like I'm just saying I will always be a proponent for Dimitri because This is a dude who's a world-class wrestler waiting in the wings. And Hardcore better be ready. That's all I'm going to say there. I mean, what are your initial thoughts with that match? But mind you, that's not even part of the tournament that Pacific North Death is even having.
Let me just say, I'm working multiple members of Total Fucking Chaos in the next few months.
Yeah, you are.
I'm working with before that El Borracho, old Avon Axel,
Yeah.
down in the Combat Cult Company.
Yes, you are.
First show of the year, and then I'm gonna come and I'm gonna grab Will and Hardcore by the throats, and then I'm going to kill them both. So it's fine. I'm literally going to gut them. I don't know what else to say. If I get my hands on them, I don't like how this whole stable Total Fucking Chaos tried to first fuck over my buddy Eric at the first Pacific North Death show, and then that fucking Kyle guy tried to fuck
Oh
over
man.
my cousin Remington Roar
One of
and
my
fucking
people.
King of the Kill. So I'm just like, these fuckers are fucking with my people, so go fuck them. I'm just gonna fight them all at this point. I don't appreciate them fucking with my people. So, I'm sorry, guys. You're all gonna die.
Or as you've said before, be blessed or die. I
Oh,
think we're saying the
absolutely.
die.
There will be no blessing. They're all going to burn in hell and die. Yes.
Oh man, but I just hope you heard that. I hope Will
Absolutely.
hears this
Oh, I have
because,
a promo too if you didn't hear this.
oh yeah,
I have a promo coming out.
there are multiple messages coming your way.
Multiple messages coming the way of everyone from Total Fucking Chaos. Yes.
Oh man, yeah, they're just little punks, those guys. They Chuck Stein almost booted me in the face at King of the Kill. So Chuck, if you're listening to this, you still owe me for that.
Oh, I'm coming for every member, including Chuck eventually.
But in other words, though, that is a big match for you. It's your first time out in that part of the country. Like Pacific North Death's like, we want you, and we want you as a guy we also see as a potential face of this company. I mean, what does it mean to you to be a part of really a company's only their third ever show? And because of that, they're putting you in a big match. It's not even a tournament match. They're like,
Yeah.
this is one of our guys. Like, let's see what you can do against them. What does that mean to you?
It means a lot. I do appreciate this fledgling company. Obviously, it's had some ups and downs already. That being said, I want to help support them. I love that they've created a new company in an area that didn't really have a lot of death matches. I know Drexel's company has done some good in the
Yes.
past, and they've had some great matches there, like Devil's Playground matches and stuff like that. But, it's good to see an actual full dedicated company for maybe not dedicated to death, but like showcasing death matches. I know they've talked about expanding their borders, not just death matches, but it's cool that they're putting that front and center and not like this special attraction only thing. So it's really cool that I get to go in there and just have this match against someone who they've already kind of put as a guy they really want to push. So I'm just like, you're giving me a stage to kill a guy, and I appreciate it, guys. So I can't say nothing bad about them. I
Oh
appreciate it. Thank you.
man, I mean, and the other big thing you have coming up next year, which we have to get to. I mean, when I saw this announcement, I was one of the happiest people in the world. You're going to Australia, you're going to DMDU. In like, this is your first international trip, wrestling wise.
First overseas, yes.
Rest overseas.
I've
Okay,
done Mexico.
Mexico. Well, yeah,
I've done
Mexico, but
Mexico.
like
Yeah.
overseas, like, I mean,
It's
first of
cool.
all, it's really cool because, first of all, Joel Bateman's one of our great friends. Like,
I love Joel. I have nothing negative to say about Joel ever.
I've always said this, that Joel doesn't just bring talent over for the sake of bringing over. He
No.
sees something in you, he really means it. And to bring you over is a big sentiment. And, another total effing fucking chaos member, you're just gonna kick their ass. I don't even know why. I don't even know where Xavier Black came into the equation about being a total fucking chaos, but he's in it,
I've
so.
seen some of the promos. He's trying to call them all in the shower and stuff like that. I've seen it.
But and you are defending which belt are you defending? The WrestleRave
WrestleRave
belt.
Deathmatch Championship. Yes.
You're defending that overseas. You're making that a deathmatch world championship. What does that mean to you to be like, yeah, I want to defend this belt overseas? What does that mean to you?
That's cool as hell. I mean, like, that's a bucket list item. Always wanting to make a title a world title. and the title that's recognized in multiple countries and everything like that. It's very cool to do for WrestleRave, and also that championship. It's meant a lot to me. You know, it's just like going to be a representative for not only a brand but another country. Going to another country is insane to me. It's things I'm like, is this happening? Hold on, I gotta pinch myself. Is this happening? Hell yeah. It's a dream come true. I love Joel. They've been all great to work with, and not just one or two shows. There'll be some more shows on down there as well.
Yeah, I
And
didn't notice you
I
had
know
another bookings as well. I was like,
they've only
damn.
announced two shows so far that I'm doing, but I will be there for multiple shows down there during the whole
That's really
time period.
awesome. That's really
I'm excited.
awesome.
I'm so excited for it all to get announced, man.
It's really cool. It's just cool. Like, they're giving you some marquee matches too. It's not like, oh, just some foreigner coming for a couple. Like, they're giving you some marquee matches and making you matter. And I think the best thing about it is the fan reaction.
Yeah.
The Australian fans are like, oh, and then they see your stuff and they're like, oh, this Dmitry Alexandrov dude is a fucking legit dude. Like, I love the fan reactions of people like, oh shit, Dmitry Alexandrov coming out. So I think it's like the coolest moment ever.
Yeah, it's wild to think that people from another country are like, "Oh shit, I'm excited for you." I'm like, "You don't know what?
You don't even
What?
know.
What? Shit! All right, hell yeah." I can't say enough nice things, like I said, about the company. But I'll tell you, there is a potential. I'm not gonna spoil. I'm not gonna
Do not
jinx it. But
spoil it.
there is a potential matchup while I'm down there that might happen that I am unbelievably excited for. But
Okay.
I'm not jinxing it. It's still up in the
Just
air.
let's just see if it happens.
Let's see if it happens. I'm not putting it out there. I'm not. If I do that,
Oh,
it's guaranteed not to happen. If there's a graphic, maybe I can talk
you got
about
the hacks going. We don't want that Dimitri hacks. Come on
it.
now. I feel like there's a part of this interview that I had to bring up, someone who, and I've mentioned his name before off camera, but one of my personal favorite matches of the year was at Death in the Family, was yourself and Sky Dela Cremosa, the 100 plus tubes match.
Hell yeah.
And you may be number one in like the Texas Death Match charts, but Sky is right there beneath you at number two. What is it about Sky Dela Cremosa that brings the best out of you?
Me and Sky, he's one of those guys who first I became friends with when I, like I said, when I first got into the Texas scene, and he was a hardcore champion for that ACW, excuse you, hardcore champion for that company ACW at the time. And honestly, like he and I just started having matches around, 2019 and stuff like that. We were doing more and more matches against each other. And we've probably wrestled each other maybe way too many times, the two friends that wrestle each other at this point. But to wrestle him at Death in the Family, it was our biggest stage for that. I know Sky was expecting a different path. Obviously he was originally supposed to wrestle Murdoch. I know he was very bummed at first about that. And doing what we did and getting to have that match, I think completely changes view. I think there was coming into that show after finding out Murdoch wasn't going to be there was disappointment. But then after we had that match and we just, I mean, we fucking went for it on that match. And I told him, I was like, "Hey, get out of your head. Let's fucking go do this, okay? Let's fucking go out there and let's show them what we've been already doing for the past, I don't know, like 7 years at this point, man." So
Yeah, I
it was
mean
very cool. It was very cool to do that.
like and from my point of view, I have to mention this. Like, I mean, I've filmed some really awesome death matches this year, like Drake Younger on 3, Drake Younger Akira. But there's something special about two people who have heavily vouched for me, like yourself and Sky, and to do the match you guys did, which mind you, I still think my favorite clip I've ever done was you just going face first into the tubes and that rope, and you just on the ropes, like Jon Moxley style. I can't, how many people came up to me? They're like, holy shit, this is incredible. And, but just to watch what you two did in that ring that night, and I imagine that was a long show. Like,
Yes.
everyone's tired, but I've never seen two guys get a crowd so much more invested than you two because. It's one thing, death match, you've kind of, once you've seen like the tubes, you've seen them all.
Yeah.
But like the two, you just to get a crowd fully invested, have them like wrapped around your finger. That match was like the pinnacle of that. I'm like, If I did like a deathmatch 101 class, I'd be like, this is how you get a crowd behind it, because it doesn't matter if it's a tournament. It doesn't matter if it's a main event. Like, you have to make things count, and you made them
Yes.
count. And I mean, I think Sky presentation wise is excellent.
Yeah.
Like, to me, one of the best presenters in anywhere, because the Texas Chainsaw Massacre look, it's just, it's different. Like, it's
Yeah.
different. But like, then yourself, you're coming out with the thorn, you coming out just getting the crowd hyped. It's just, it was magic, that match. It was just
Hell yeah.
magic. It was pure bliss. So
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I think that match is one I'm always gonna look fondly of. I think it was one of the matches I had of the year. I is a year where I wrestled guys like Satu Jin and Joel Bateman and guys like that. And I still think it was probably one of the best matches I had this year. And it's just one of those things I'm like, a lot of emotion in that match, a lot of like fucking just beating the shit out of your friend in that
yeah,
match. I don't know how to describe it,
you
man.
guys did beat the piss out of each other. And I'm just like, oh.
I just got super into it, man. I can't, what else can I say, So, I loved it. Thank you for loving it too, though. It means more to me.
Yeah, it, always. And I mean, first of all, this has been a fantastic conversation,
Hell
Dimitri.
yeah.
As I told you before, I want to make sure, like, I think there's some people, they see your name and they're like, oh, it's just a name, but like, I want to be able to like get you out there more, because you deserve the spotlight. You deserve the attention, because more promotions are realizing that you deserve the attention. And again, as I said, you're primed for a breakout year next year in 2025. This is crazy. It's still only 2024. But like,
It's wild, yeah.
it's just one of those things. Like, as much as we talk about our mainstays, as much as we talk about, I mean, you talk about any of those guys who are going to Japan for BGW's King of the Deathmatch,
Yes.
mainstays, a few up and comers, but like, there's also guys here in the great US of A, the great state of Texas, that are doing stuff, waving their flag, and they're like, don't forget about us. We are
Yeah.
killing it in our own way. And you're definitely an epitome of that in a way. So again, thank you for making the time for me as well. I always appreciate it.
Course, of course.
So kind of like wrap this up as well. What are maybe some other goals you have for 2025?
Well, definitely Australia was really cool. I want to do both though, UK. I want to go back to Mexico, and I'm always gonna have it on every year until I do it. Japan has been my dream in wrestling. The first day I showed the wrestling training, I said the first thing I want to do is I want to go to Japan. I just want to wrestle in Japan. And it is, I love all aspects of Japanese wrestling. It's something I'm just a huge fan of. And it's, not just death matches. I love, if you Royal Road style, I love all that, strong style, if you will, whatever. I love Japanese wrestling, and that is always going to be the number one goal every year until I do it. So, but international, that's something I'm really trying to work towards more. I'm trying to get on those stages. I would love to do Tournament of Death. I would love to do it. That's another one of my thing. And thankfully, this budding relationship with CZW is happening. Hopefully, it's all going for the better. I'd love to be a part of that. But then there's also things like King of the Kill. I think that tournament kicks ass, and I would love to be a part of it, man. Deathmatch tournaments, because I got told a while back that, hey, man, you're one of these guys that's kind of up and up, but like you don't do enough tournaments. And I'm like, okay, I want to do way more tournaments. I'm like, obviously, I'm doing Chicago in March where you're going to be
Yes,
at too. I'm
we
excited for
love
that.
wrestling.
I'm excited for that. Me and Murdoch, first round.
Oh, that's gonna be real freaking good.
I'm excited.
That's
And
gonna be
I'm just
real good.
like, I need to do more tournaments. If that's what has to get me recognition, I'll do that. I will do whatever it takes in my body to show people that what Texas Deathmatch means and what it, when I. When I say I care about this, I'm going to do whatever it takes to care about this. I said in my promo, I'm starving. I'm starving for opportunities. And when you have someone starving for opportunities, gets those opportunities, you're going to come at it ravagingly. You're just going to come at it nonstop because it's all about seizing those moments and not just like, oh, this is another day on the job. No, it's not like that at all. It's like, no, fucker, I care about this and I'm going to do whatever it fucking takes. So, I'm just like, it's all about, getting more tournaments. It's just getting out to those places that need to see me, like I appreciate you always sing my praises, and I'm just trying to show more and more people that I can give them a lot more than your average deathmatch wrestler. I'm telling them that.
Love to
So,
hear it. And another question I have that someone
sure.
put out is book your own dream match. You against two and why?
Fuck. Me against who? And then do I get to book the venue and stuff too?
Whatever you want with that question, you can run with it.
Brother, I'm just gonna give myself myself versus okay, I'd be lying if it's not Kasai. Jun Kasai's the fucking guy. That being said, as a number two also amongst the Japanese scene for myself would be El Desperado.
Oh,
Either one of those
Dusty.
two guys in Corken Hall light tube match, I would just I'd be super into that.
Desperado, as someone who's met Desperado personally, such a sweet man.
I
Oh,
love
Dusty's
Destiny.
very
I
good
love
looking
him.
too. He is a very
He's
good
a
looking,
handsome
he's a
man.
freaking handsome dude. When he introduced himself to me, I'm like, oh, hello. Like, he is a
He wears a
very
mask. He wears a mask unless he like gets
all I
torn
have a
off.
theory in wrestling that all the good looking dudes wear masks. They don't want their looks to overshadow their talent.
Lauren, side note, have you ever seen the night that Andrade got unmasked when he
Yes.
was La
Yes.
Sombra? And
Yes.
there's the chick pop. There is the chick pop because, oh,
Yes.
he's getting, they're all sad. He's losing his mask and everything, and he
But
gets it taken off, and you hear a oh.
yes,
You kind of
I've
hear that
seen
because
that.
look at Andrade, and then like Despy, I feel like is very
Oh,
similar in
very
that sense.
similar, but I love
The
it. And
Hiromu match where his
oh, the
mask is torn
Hiromu,
off and he
yeah.
just takes it off and you're
Oh,
like,
he's like sweet.
whoa, hey now.
Him and Chris Brooks as well was the same thing, and I'm like,
Yes.
bruh.
Love Chris Brooks, by the way. I love that
Brooks,
guy.
yeah. Another question I have for you. This was an interesting one that someone brought to my attention.
Sure.
Like, someone thought like deathmatch wrestling is currently in like a state of stale in their
Okay.
mind, especially in the creative side of things. What is it that you would say you do or are gonna do to make maybe be a herald of that change? Like, what do you do that maybe makes you stand, or what do you think you're gonna do that makes you stand out?
I think relying on tubes is something that I don't want to necessarily do. Grant, I know me and Sky just had this tube match that everyone likes. That being said, I don't think people over relying on tubes is something that,
Glass in general, I'd say.
yeah, pains too, but you can do it with a barbed wire board, some chairs, a trash. Trash cans are underused. Me and Sawyer Rec had this death match. We couldn't use any glass because the main event was going to use glass only. And we used a gusset plate trash can as our
Was
big
that for
fix.
I'm trying to remember where that was from.
That
I
was
don't remember if you
WrestleRave.
I was
That was
WrestleRave,
WrestleRave.
yes.
That was the
Okay.
very first match for the WrestleRave Deathmatch Championship. It was the inaugural match. And we used a gusset plate covered trash can. And it's just like this. I don't think I've seen that ever used again. And we used it as our finish. And it was great. I
That's
don't know, man.
awesome.
I think reliance on glass is something I definitely want to stray away from, you know, like. There's the big tropes, you know, like, oh, we always got to go brawl outside. We have to do this. And these are things that I try to avoid. It happens sometimes. I hate to say it. It's going to happen.
No, it
But
happens.
I would like to keep matches in the ring, and I would like to keep them with no glass, but we can still use weapons, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
I want more wrestling that gets to a weapon is what I want. More,
But
a little
I
more
get
wrestling and then a
more.
weapon.
It brings up a great point that I have is that it's such an over reliance on weapons. It's like it's deathmatch wrestling. Like there's still a wrestling
Wrestling.
component.
Yes.
And like people are like, I'll never forget. I had a moment during 2020 when it was COVID year. And I was at GCW when they were doing like the non-deathmatch shows in Indianapolis. And Alex Colon was on the show wrestling. And
Yeah.
they're like, and they see his back, and like, oh, this. I'm like, and he's like wrestling this great match against someone who I will not name on this show. But, and they're like, wait, he can wrestle? I'm like, yeah, deathmatch wrestlers can fucking wrestle, bro.
Yes.
Like, it's not a, it's sometimes there's a lost art, but I think the other thing that I like to mention is that the build to a weapon is just as good as using the weapon. Like, I love the beginning of matches where you're feeling it out, where you're like, oh, like teasing the weapon, like teasing the pane of glass being used,
Yes.
like the little things like that from when the bump actually happens, it makes the bump that happens more rewarding.
Yes, I
It's
agree.
a lost art. It really is a lost art sometimes.
Yeah, I think that like a lot of times go so look at Death of the Family real quick. I know I'm re referencing this way too much.
Of course.
We didn't use any glass until that fourth match on the
Yeah.
cards, and we purposely made it that way because it's like, and no one used tubes until me and Sky's match.
Yep.
So it's like, you're not over. It's not overstaying its welcome, and it's
You got
not
the
just
build
like,
to it. Like people know there's gonna be glasses, they see it on the card, but like maybe like, oh, I'm excited for this match. Like get
and then.
excitement from the get-go.
And then look at like me and Gary J had that opener. We built to everything we did, and there's a lot of wrestling in that match if you go
That
back and
was an
watch that.
excellent match because Gary's a great fucking wrestler. He is
He's
a
a fantastic wrestler.
fantastic wrestler, and like he doesn't need to do death matches to get over.
No,
But
not at all.
like, but the way he builds to things, I've seen him do a few other in his storied career, but the way
Yes.
he builds the spots is second to none.
Yes, I agree. I think Gary is one of those unsung heroes that also probably needs his flowers. He's a guy that I get a lot of advice from Gary, and he's great, you know. And me and him go out there, and we did more wrestling on that, I guess, on that first round than anyone else did. Maybe you had some with a different kind of wrestling with like Stud
Sash and
and
Manders.
Manders,
But
yeah.
that was
But
more
like,
physical. That was more like a physical hospital. Like yours was like technical. It was
we were
very
trying to.
technical.
There's a little bit of every flavor. Everyone wants to focus. I don't know if you've seen some of the comments on the clips that go a lot.
Oh, I've seen him.
Oh, it's hilarious. Like all these guys are like, this isn't wrestling, all that shit. And it's like, it's a spot in the match where we were doing like chain wrestling and stuff too, but that happens. And it's like, brother, what? Come on.
No, they aren't seeing the bigger picture,
I know,
and
I know.
but
It's
that's
okay
just
though. It's
it's
okay.
okay. So it ain't everyone's flavor of the month. So yeah, that was a few questions, final questions I had.
Hell
I
yeah.
always like to end my shows by letting my guests plug away. I want you to plug the crap away. I know you have a Twitch channel. I know you have some merch as well. Like the floor is yours, my friend. Again, thank you for coming on the show.
No, thank you for having me on, my friend. Yes, like you just said, I just started a Twitch channel. I am slowly trying to figure out what it's gonna be about. Everyone does video games, and I do a little bit of video games because I don't really play video games unless I'm streaming it. But I want to do other things as well, like watch-alongs, like matches, and have other wrestlers on that we can do commentary over their matches, stuff like that. I want to do something different than just. Sometimes we'll play games. It's not just going to be games. I'm trying to
Variety's
figure it
good
all, but
though. Variety's good.
but yeah, that is at it's Twitch slash the Dmitry Alexandrov. I had to do that because I guess someone had a Dmitry Alexandrov account, which is weird, but
Posers.
I guess it's inactive anyway, so it doesn't matter. So
Yeah,
that's on there. Of course, my Big Cartel, I do all my own processing. I do now through some stuff through Printful, so I can print to
okay.
order a lot of things. But if you ever DM me when I'm doing like sales, like I'm selling some shirts right now on my Facebook and stuff like that, that's gonna come from me. I'm gonna package it myself, and I'm gonna go to the post office and mail it. You know, I'll throw some extra goodies in there too. So it's coming from me. It's all very mom and pops level. You know, a
Good,
lot of
I love
this
it.
because I mean, yes, I had a pro wrestling tease back in the day, and it's still there, but like. I'm trying to stray away from that and do more of my own thing now. It's more all about, you know, being very like grassroots and being all your own boss kind of thing, you know. So
Yeah.
and then of course social media, Instagram, Dmitry underscore Alexandrov. I have a Twitter still, X, sorry,
X,
X.
yes,
I have an X. I
Twitter.
can't call it anything else, man. It's so stupid
It
anyway.
is, I
I
agree.
have it. I don't really use it as much as I probably should, but that's at Dimitri Kilbear.
Yes.
And then of course I have a blue sky. I think that's I cannot remember what I called it. Oh my God, I'm so bad. I'm pretty sure it's just Dmitry Alexandrov on Blue Sky.
Okay.
I'm actually no. Yes, it's all one word.
Good.
And then of course I have Facebook. Add me on there if you wish. It's not a big deal. I'm just like I said, I'm just trying to do what I can to get as much attention as I can so I can show more of what the Texas Deathmatch scene can do. And any and all support is always welcome. Thank you very much for all of this. Like, and Lauren having me on this show to even like advocate for myself too, man. Thank you so much for this. 2025 is gonna be crazy, you know. And there's some things we didn't even talk about that I have too. I can't talk about it yet, and I'll probably talk to you off air about it. But
For sure.
I just hope we can keep this momentum going. That's all.
Absolutely. That was the aim of the game here. And again, I hope you guys really enjoyed this conversation with Dmitry Alexandrov. As I said, this is my last episode of 2024. On to the still new era that is 2025. Want to point out that I am working on a new podcast logo. It is
Hell
coming.
yeah.
Working on some more stuff behind the scenes as well, but you guys will hear from me first on that. But as Dimitri said, on a 2025, from myself, from Dimitri, thank you guys for listening to this episode of Your Dose of Death. See you guys on the flip side.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Jessica, and I'm the host of Jumping Knee Pod, a modern day All Japan podcast. Join me and a guest each month as we cover all that went down in the ring, outside of the ring, and everywhere else. Big title matches, tournaments, character arcs, storytelling, feuds, and more. It's all covered on Jumping Knee Pod. Look out for a bonus episode every once in a while, covering a variety of All Japan topics. So make sure you tune into Jumping Knee Pod. It's a new All Japan podcast for a new All Japan era.
This has been a Countout Podcast.